Hello, my name is Kathy Hoy, and I'm going to be talking about sodium intake in the United States. Specifically, this presentation will describe sodium intake of the population by various demographics, identify some of the foods that are primary contributors to sodium intake, and describe the sodium contribution of foods that are consumed at restaurants. Just by way of brief background, sodium intake and blood pressure, that relationship has been confirmed relatively consistently in epidemiological and clinical studies. The recommendation to reduce sodium intake has existed for over 40 years, and there have been several initiatives addressing reduction in sodium intake, but despite this, estimates indicate that there has been relatively little change. There have been recommendations in the dietary guidelines for Americans to reduce sodium intake since the guidelines began in 1980. Specific quantification of the recommendations began with the 2005 dietary guidelines and remained with the 2010 dietary guidelines. Those recommendations are 2,300 milligrams or less for the general population and 1,500 milligrams or less for those with hypertension and prehypertension, blacks, and adults 51 years of age and older. The lower recommendation of 1,500 milligrams per day applies or includes over half of the population. And just as a frame of reference, 2,300 milligrams is about the amount of sodium that's found in a teaspoon of salt. So this slide shows some of the changes that have occurred in sodium intake, which is basically no change. The blue bar shows sodium intake of the general population, and we're comparing here the intake from the 1994-98 continuing survey of food intake by individuals with the intakes from What We Eat in America 2007-2008. So what this shows is that for the general population, intake has remained consistent around 3,300 milligrams, 3,285 in the 94-98 survey, 3,330 in the 2007-2008. The dark green bar represents the intake of males. The light green bar represents females. And as you can see, intake has not changed between males and females either, between the two surveys. And you can see that intakes of males are higher than females. This slide is showing sodium intake of males and females by age category. The dark red bar is showing intake at recommended level for the general population of 2,300 milligrams, and the dotted line shows 1,500 milligrams. So what we see is that overall, most age categories, or all age categories, with the exception of 2 to 5 year olds, which are represented on the far left, all are consuming more than the recommended level of sodium intake. The 2 to 5 year olds are below, probably because they're receiving different foods, but also, as you'll see, I'll talk about shortly, the relationship to calorie intake. But overall, intake of males is higher than females, and intakes are over recommended levels. They increase throughout childhood into adulthood, and then intakes begin to decrease slightly in the 50s, decreasing more through the 60s and 70s. This slide is showing sodium intake by race and ethnicity. The blue bar represents non-Hispanic whites, the red bar non-Hispanic blacks, and the tan bar Hispanics. Again, what we see is the increase throughout the age categories. The far right represents adults 20 years and older, and you can see the leveling off of intake. Although there appears to be some differences in sodium intake between the different race ethnicity groups, these differences are not significant. Now, this slide is showing sodium intake by income. Again, the same pattern of increasing intake with age. Again, there are no significant differences for children and adolescents between age categories. And the far left bar represents those that are less than 130% of the poverty line. The far right bar, or the dark bar, represents those that are 300% or more, with the middle bar representing those in between. The only significant difference that we see is among adults 20 years and older, where the sodium intake of those who are less than 130% poverty is lower than those that are 300% or more. And I'll talk about that briefly in a second. Now, sodium intake is related to calorie intake, which is why we see that the intakes of males are higher than the intakes of females. As Donna showed in her data, the calorie intake of males is higher than females, and we know that because males have higher needs. But when we look at the sodium density, or the amount of sodium per 1,000 calories, we basically see no differences between the different age categories or between males and females. There is some slight difference between young children and adults, but as you saw earlier, their sodium intakes are still above the recommended level. The salt that's added to food at the table actually accounts for only a very small percentage of sodium intake. We do not quantify sodium intake in the survey. It's something that's very difficult to do. But we do ask how often salt is added to food at the table. And you can see that 41% said that they never add salt at the table, 28% only rarely, and 13% respectively said occasionally and very often. So only about a third of people are adding salt occasionally, or 13% very often. So where is the sodium in the diet coming from? Well, we looked at food, different categories of food, and one of the highest contributors, contributing 23% to total intake, are grain or meat, poultry, fish-based mixed dishes. This would include things like casserole items that have a protein or grain, usually with, if it's a meat, with a grain and or a vegetable, and usually having some kind of a sauce base. This group also includes pizza, which contributes 5% to total sodium intake. And it includes pasta and macaroni dishes like macaroni and cheese, lasagna, and so forth. Some of the other types of foods that also contribute would be Mexican foods, Asian type food items as well. Next in contribution would be meat, poultry, fish, and eggs, contributing 19% to total sodium intake. One of the highest contributors is deli and cured meats, your bacon, sausage, corned beef, ham, and so forth, contributing 9%. Poultry also contributes highly, contributing 4%, and this would be things like fried chicken, your rotisserie chickens, and other enhanced poultry items. Breads and grain products contribute 14% to total sodium intake, and this would include breads and rolls, which contribute 8% to total intake, but it would also include things like pancakes and waffles, biscuits, quick breads, and pastries. Vegetables and dairy products each contribute about 7% to total intake. While vegetables in and of themselves do not contain sodium naturally, the sodium contribution from vegetables comes from canned vegetables, frozen vegetables that have a sauce, salads that are dressed like coleslaw, and mixed vegetable dishes. Dairy items would include fluid milk, which does contain some sodium naturally, but it also includes cheese, which does have sodium as part of processing and contributes 4% to total sodium intake. Savory snacks like chips and pretzels contribute 5% to total sodium intake, followed by salad dressing, spreads, and dips like mayonnaise, sour cream-based dips, and so forth. Those contribute 4% to total sodium intake, followed, or in addition, condiments like ketchup, mustard, barbecue sauce, and so forth. Pickles and pickled vegetables like sauerkraut, those contribute 4%. And then soups, both canned and homemade soups, also contribute 4% to total sodium intake. And then we have other categories that contribute 3% or less, such as yogurt, nuts and seeds, fruits, and baby foods, contributing all of those together about 13%. When we look at foods away from home, this would include foods that are eaten at a restaurant, but it would also include foods that might be consumed at the office or at someone else's home. So 69% of respondents reported consuming food away from home. And those foods consumed away from home contributed 35% of energy intake of the population and 37% of the sodium intake. 53% reported consuming foods from a restaurant or fast food. And that would include not only restaurants and fast food, but it would include what people might get at a cafeteria, a vending machine, or street vendor. It just does not include convenience stores. Foods obtained from a restaurant or fast food contributed 25% to total energy intake of the population and 29% of sodium intake. When we look at those who reported eating at a restaurant versus those who did not report eating at a restaurant, those who reported eating at a restaurant had a higher calorie intake by about 324 calories, I believe it was. Of that 2,242 calories that were reported by restaurant reporters, 43% or 961 calories came from restaurant foods. In terms of sodium, those who reported consuming restaurant foods, they consumed 3,623 milligrams of sodium compared to 2,999 for non-restaurant reporters. That's a difference of about 624 calories. You can see that the restaurant foods provided about 50% of those of the sodium intake, contributing about 1,800 milligrams. So in conclusion, sodium intake of the population is higher than the recommendation to consume 2,300 milligrams or less, and it has remained essentially unchanged since the 1994-98 survey. Food categories that contribute to sodium intake include mixed dishes, pizza and pasta dishes, deli and cured meats, and breads and rolls. Those who report consuming restaurant fast foods have higher sodium intake compared to those who do not report them. The Food Surveys Research Group is currently collaborating with the USDA Nutrient Data Laboratory, as well as FDA and CDC, on a large initiative that will be monitoring changes in sodium content of the food supply, as well as changes in the sodium intake of the population. And these data will be helpful for informing advocacy and education initiatives for lowering sodium intake. Thank you.
Well, we've given you lots of data this morning on what we eat in America, and there's lots more left for you all to analyze yourself or go on to our website and see what's available, as well as take the handouts at the back of the room. So just in summary, I put together a few of the more salient points I thought that we talked about this morning. One out of three Americans has candy on any given day, of course, except for today. One out of four Americans does not have a fruit or vegetable on any given day. Snacking's increased and contributes about a fourth to total caloric intakes. Other than for very young children, the majority of beverages consumed provides little nutritive value beyond calories. Sodium intake is over 3,000 milligrams per day, and it's remained essentially unchanged since the mid-1990s.